I think that Krista has in fact just muted everybody except me as we hit 10 o'clock. So it's yeah, everybody got muted. So let's see, how do I just a second here. Okay, so welcome everybody. Now you're all unmuted again, looks like. No, you're still muted. Okay, great. So as those of you who have been here before know, we have changed the structure. What we're doing this time is that I'm the only one that gets to speak from now, which is 10 o'clock, and until the meditation is finished. And then a few of you will have an opportunity to share afterwards. But we've decided to shorten the format a bit. And I really appreciate that you send me two sentences, one about your resources, one about your pain or your stress. And it's very much best if you can do it in the evening so that I can get the sentences in the evening. I won't really have time to integrate them if you send them to Body Mind in the morning. So then they'll sort of be considered in the next batch, so in several days when our next meditation arises. Will you please all nod if you can hear me? Yeah, a lot of people can hear me. That's great. Thank you. That's great. And I've been reflecting on what you write. Some of you are now seeing friends actually dying from COVID-19 that are not in the expected zone. Some of you are feeling the long-term view. I think that's one of the things that goes through the comments this time, and that I'm also picking up from my own society here in Denmark, but also from international news, that people are starting to look at what are the long-term consequences? What is the long-term consequences in terms of healing from it? What is the long-term consequence in terms of our societies and how to reopen them? What is the long-term consequences in terms of our social contexts as we know them? When can we expect a vaccine? What about the economy? What about our own work and how we do it, feeling that we're not doing it well enough? Because we have to maintain all these restrictions. So there are all these long-term concerns that are coming up and that are different, require something different of our systems than the immediate, okay, we're all in it together, we can do this for a month. Now we're looking at what are we going to do for 6 months? What are we going to do for a year? What does the future look like? And I'd like to talk a bit about that because in a way, we have never known what the future looked like, but we have been in societies that were stable enough that we thought we knew what the future looked like. We've been able to make plans for it, and very often those plans have held. And that's pretty much how it's been for a large part of my adult life, maybe my whole adult life. And I'm 64, so there's been a fair amount of that for the last 30, 40 years. That if there have been upsets, then they have been, in many countries, fairly brief. Something has changed, but then a new normal has been established, and we don't know really yet what the new normal is. So we're all struggling with that. Some of us with societal implications and fear of control, some of us with our hands-on daily work. What is it going to look like? And I want to bring that in as part of a way that we're joining how most people through most of history have felt, that we have lived until now in a particularly unusual and resourced space, and that we are now moving to what is the norm for most human beings in most of the world today, and has been a norm for most people throughout history. That there are things that are very close to us that we cannot control. And there is fear in that, and there's anger in that, and there's a sense of insecurity in that. And I want to honor that. And I also want us to expand it from this is mine to this is ours. And it may not change. And just to allow that with our sense of breath, with our sense of community. My teacher once wrote something in a book that has been with me ever since. It goes like this. There are basically two kinds of problems in the world. One kind is the kind that can be solved. The other is the kind that cannot be solved. And the kind that can be solved, it's good to solve it. And many of us have jobs where we have learned to solve a huge number of problems, emotional problems, practical problems, or it's been a way that we've lived our lives. And then once in a while, and right now, for all of us at the same time, we come up against that which is not solvable. That which is not solvable, the greater issues that are illness, that may be long-term, that there are changes and poverty issues that may be long-term, and that there are changes to society and to our own way of being in the world that may be long-term, and we don't know what it will look like. And the way to deal with that is, there is a way to deal with that, but it's not to solve it, because it can't be solved. And that's actually the nature of almost all collective issues. They cannot be solved. What we can do with them is we can allow them to transform us. In a way, problem solving is to transform something in the outer world. To meet the unsolvable problems is to allow the unsolvable to transform us, to impact us, and to meet it with the resources that we have to allow us to grow. And it's fascinating to me as a student of brain and brain development, that in some ways we're built to accommodate that. We're built to need stress to come to our full potential, to develop deep insight. We require pain, trauma, difficulty. We do not come to deeper insight without it. And without deeper insight, we do not come to the deeper resources that we have. So those are some of the thoughts that your letters have your sentences have evoked, have evoked in me. And to do that, to not be overwhelmed by it, which is also a theme that some of you bring up, that you're overwhelmed, it's too much. We desperately need those resources that we find. And also to remember that part of those resources are shared. It's not just that we share with each other, but that we are part of a greater field, that is holding this and that is in this. So that it's not just each of you that finds resources in nature and in spring, which many of you write. It is so many of us that every time you go for a walk in the forest, every time you notice the flowers that are blooming outside or the trees that are bursting into leaves, every time that happens, you are not the only one who's noticing it. So many people are noticing it. So many animals are noticing it. There's a rejoicing all the time that is unhearable and invisible, and that you are part of in that moment. So just as we are meeting something that is larger than we are in terms of pain and stress, we're also sharing something that is larger than we are in terms of resources. And this happens all the time. It's just that these great crises in the world bring us closer to it. So it knocks down the doors of our kind of small bubbles of personal lives, so that we can get closer to that collective dynamic. And this is part of the opportunity, the possibilities that are in this. And that doesn't mean that we give up or that we stop noticing the grief or the pain. It doesn't mean that at all. It means that we find strength to meet that, to meet the everyday level. Yeah. Whether it's a small thing like the grief of a child or missing a friend, or whether it's the big things. Yeah. So if this makes sense to you, would you nod, please? I'll look at you. Yeah, a lot of people can. Yeah, good. Thank you. Okay. So that's what I have to say this morning. And it's time for meditation. So we start with stretching. That's another resource we all share. We have a body and it can stretch. And see if you can find some yawns. Wow. And take the time to notice whether there are any small areas of your body that want small stretches. Sometimes it's the big areas, it's like arms and legs and your whole back. But sometimes it's this tiny little kind of arching of your lower back that wakes up a yawn. Or a very specific little stretch of your neck, or twisting your arms in directions where they don't usually go. Or making a fist. And then see how far you can hold it while kind of pushing your fists against each other. Let's play with doing some things that you don't usually do that aren't normally a part of your stretching routines. And yawn. It's one of the things that it's really good to do is to listen to what kinds of body movements start yawns. And when there's been a yawn, give it a moment to settle. This is how you communicate with your autonomic nervous system. You come into your body, which always is in the present moment. It can't be anywhere else. Which is another resource. This moment. This ability to stretch. These impulses to massage a shoulder or my face or a cold foot. Finding the inner rhythm right now. Your uniquely personal inner rhythm. And as you sit, take some time to actually move around a bit on your chair or your seat. And notice if there are any parts of your body that would actually like a bit of holding, not just massaging, but holding. Sometimes it's the heart. Sometimes it's the solar plexus. Sometimes it's the lower belly. And in that, also know that there are many people that want to do that right now. But there are two parts of us. In the stretching or in the holding or in the massaging, there's one part of us that is noticing what another part of us needs. And is paying attention to it. There's a caregiver, and there's something that is being cared for. So finding those two inner parts, maybe it's your legs that are being cared for, maybe it's your head. Maybe it's your hands that are caring. Maybe it's just your awareness, your intention to find a rocking movement or a stretching movement that feels just right. Remembering all the rotations, we tend to forget rotations when we stretch. Rotations are really good. Many of you have also written about missing touch. So take a bit of time to actually give yourself some touch, since we can only see the top part of you in these pictures. You can do it in a fair amount of privacy here. So just touching yourself and giving yourself time to notice the feeling of how it feels for your hands to touch your legs or your tummy or your buttocks or your back or your shoulders or your feet, wherever you're touching. How does it feel in your hands to be touching? How do your hands like to touch? And how does your body like to be touched? How does that part of you like being touched? And see if you can find ways of touching that are pleasurable, that feel good. That feel good both to your hands and also to the part of you that's being touched. There's a rhythm in that. There's a pace and a rhythm. We have many different possible rhythms inside of us, but right now we're finding, exploring the rhythm of touching and coming present and moving. And notice how your breathing is organizing with that, the rhythm of your breathing. And allow your movements or your touch to listen to your breathing so that your movement fits your breathing. Your touching fits your breathing. Take a moment to, again, in the rhythm of your breathing, just to move on your chair or on your seat. It could be a rocking motion or a turning motion. And notice how this rhythm, your breathing, your movement, how it's part of a greater rhythm, which is this day. There's a sunrise, and at some point in time, we all got up at different times. So you got up and you have a morning routine. Maybe you exercise first, maybe you stagger out to the kitchen and make a hot drink. That's part of your rhythm. And twice a week right now, this is perhaps also part of your rhythm, your day rhythm. Then you get hungry, you eat, you go to the bathroom, you do some sort of work, you go outside, you, whatever you do, you have these rhythms. So just a sense of the rhythms, the greater rhythms of your day. That this tiny motion is actually part of. At some point in time, you go to bed again. Sun sets, we go to bed. We have evening routines. And then we go to sleep. So that whole embedded in a day-night rhythm. Some of us aren't sleeping well sometimes. I suspect most of us don't always sleep well. Some of us aren't sleeping well right now, in these days. But we still go to bed. So this sense of rhythm that is also part of the world's rhythm. Rhythm of our societies and the rhythm of the sun and the planet. That each breath that we take is a part of. So just relaxing into each breath right now, just noticing the sense of, if you do absolutely nothing except what comes by itself. So if you feel like rocking, please continue. If you do absolutely nothing with your breathing to change it, just noticing how there is an out-breath, and this out-breath, it runs out much like a wave runs out in the sand. And then another in-breath comes by itself. And this in-breath kind of swells, again, like a wave will swell in the ocean. It rises. And then it, at some point in time, it's at its peak, it's full. And there's this tiny little shift. And then there's another out-breath, runs into emptiness. And just following that rhythm, letting your awareness rest with that, with the blooming, the swelling of the wave of breath and the emptying. Noticing how each one moves your body. Not you doing it, it's life doing it. Life breathes us. Life breathes each of us, and it breathes all of us. Noticing with that, the light, I can see many of you are sitting in places where the sun is shining or there's light from the outside. And even those of you where I can't see that, you've probably seen the light of the sky, either the sun behind clouds or the sun shining. Today, noticing the feeling of that sunlight. Which again, shines on each of us and on all of us. On every living being on this planet. Each plant, each tiny molecule of plankton, each human being, each fox. Shining light and warming. All warmth on this earth comes from the sun. And back to your own sense of breath. This wave rhythm. Like every wave rhythm. Day and night, summer and winter. In breath, out breath. taking a moment here to invite whatever troubles you in these days or today, to invite it into this field. It's part of this ongoing rhythm of constant change. No two breaths are alike, no two days are alike, no two days are the same, no two years are the same. So inviting this fear or concern or worry into this space. Allowing it to touch your heart. Whether it's a personal pain or fear, or whether it's a pain for someone else, specific others, or whether it's a pain or a fear for your society, for our societies, for our world. Letting it touch us and letting it be held in this deeper, wider space of the biosphere, of the life sphere, which includes birth and death. And that holds each of our hearts, each of our heart feelings, just as certainly as it holds each bird, each fish. Bringing in also your personal resource in this greater field of life rhythms. Again, whether it's something that you do by yourself, or whether it's something that you do with specific others, or whether it's part of the greater world, the sense of compassion in society, or the sense of spring, and the way that our world is getting a space of less pollution. And again, bring that back to the sense of this breath that life breathes in you as it breathes in each of us here, in each living creature on this earth. And in that thought and feeling, try opening in the direction of the wonder of that. The interconnectedness of that. blessing in that. In each sensation. Deep inside each feeling. At the very essential life movement of each thought. In each interaction with every other living being, people, animals, plants, part of an endless chain stretching across the world, through the world. And noticing the blessing that is already there. When we invite a blessing to those that suffer, people, animals, plants, we're actually bringing awareness to something that already is, joining a blessing that is already present. And it's time to finish our meditation. Finding your own rhythm of coming out. Your own shifts in breathing or stretches. And as you do that, take a moment to think about taking this quality with you, this sense that there is a rhythm and there is inside the deeper rhythm, there is a blessing. And that as you go towards your daily activities, and as you notice the forms of concern and pain that you meet in your day, in your days, that you can take the time for each activity, the time to notice that even if we cannot touch, we can still make eye contact and give that time. we can give the comfort that we can give. And we can take the time to do the things that are important, to take care of ourselves and others. And we can take the time to feel that that is an act of love. Just as coming together these mornings is an act of love.